Apologies about that. SaberSims DFS office hours. Today is Friday, October 31st of 2025. It is Halloween day. So I hope everyone is going to enjoy some costumes and maybe some candy and stuff like that. Looking ahead today, we have an 8-game NBA main slate. We got some NHL action, and then we have game 6 of the World Series. So I will be watching closely to see if the Dodgers can extend it to game 7. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the office hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And then we do this show tomorrow on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen here. I have the upcoming NBA slate pulled up, and we will work through questions from the top down. All right, first question. When building NBA using settings, unique one, it doesn't give me the option of ROI. The option is old SaberSim. What is that, and is it similar to ROI? Okay, so in order to get ROI to appear in the sorting metrics, you need to do two things. Number one, you need to upload an entry file like so. Okay. So let's say I upload a file here, creates a contest. Okay. Then I need to run lineups. And I'm kicking off some lineups right now. So after my lineups are built, I need to run the contest sim. Okay. I have the setting on to run it automatically here, auto run contest sims. Once this runs, then and only then you do those two things: upload the file, run the contest sim. Then I can go to Uniques One and I can see ROI. If I don't do those things, I will not see it. The reason for that is that ROIs are specifically tied to the contest that you're playing. You can run like a build and run the diversifier without loading an entry file, but what it will be optimizing on is Saber score. Okay, this is our new Saber score. So you only get ROI with an entry file plus running contest sims. Now, old Saber score is like a old sorting metric that we used to have before we got the new Saber score. So we basically our team back tests, you know, every so often and trying to improve the product. And we created a Saber score metric that back tested better than the old Saber score. So we didn't want to take it away in case some people still like it for different purposes. But the regular Saber score here, like just plain Saber score, is our recommendation when choosing between these two. Aside from that, ROI is better than both other options. All right. Next question. I'm new here. Can you give an overview of contest selection recommendations that best take advantage of SaberSim? Please. I've been playing NFL seriously for years, but I'm new to NBA. Thanks. We have some pretty good contest selection recommendations. So like, let's say I'm going to go to NFL, because I know you said you play that one seriously, right? So let's say I'm going to go to NFL main, maybe for DraftKings on Sunday. So what I would do is basically narrow down the contests that you are going to play in SaberSim first, and then go and enter those ones. So the first thing that we recommend is you want to play the contests that have the highest, what we call effective entrance. This means the minimum number of people to enter the maximum number of lineups. So like, for instance, like I think an easy example is if you had a single entry, right? We have the SPY. The SPY has 4,444 entrants. Therefore, it takes 4,444 people, unique people, individual persons, to max out the contest, right? To fill it. Well, this gets a little muddier when you started looking at contests that you can enter 150 entrants in, right? We have this contest that's 5,505 entries, right? Like, hey, this is more than the SPY was. But in this 5,505 entrant contest, you can enter 150 lineups. So this contest only takes 37 individual people to enter 150 lineups to max it out. Now, will everyone do that? No, of course not. But what it just kind of gives you insight into is that these contests might be harder to beat because it takes less persons to max them out. And there are going to be like a subset of people who are maxing those out. And those are generally going to be some of the best players in the lobby. So what we recommend first is sorting by effective entrance, high to low. Okay. Then what we recommend is setting your top prize greater than or equal to your daily wager. Now, maybe you're going to enter, you know, $200. Okay. So then I would set this greater than or equal to 200. Okay, great. Now what I would do is you want to start with contests under $3. So we're going to say less than or equal to $3. Actually less than $3. You want to play under $3 first. And then I'm going to set a floor of the effective entrance. I want to play a contest with at least 300 effective entrants, greater than or equal to. So now I'm playing contests high to low effective entrance, at least 300, fees under $3, top prize equal to my hypothetical wager of $200, right? Okay, great. I have my list of contests I want to start with. Well, if I play all these, this is 24, 26, 31, 106, 109, $149, right? So I'm not at my limit that I've set for myself yet, right? So what do I do? Well, the first thing I would do is I would lower the effective entrance slightly, like 100, make it 200 now. Okay, I think there's a couple extra contests got in here, right, down on the bottom. So it'd be the this winner take all and this mini first down. It's 40 additional dollars, about 189. Okay, great. I would go down one more time. I would go down to 100, and I'd probably stop there. Now, you know, we have some additional contests showing up here that you can see now. What if you wanted to go beyond this, right? Okay, then I would open up fee. You know, I would open up my fee to maybe less than $5. And then maybe, you know, because I'm going higher, right, this top prize needs to be greater. Maybe it needs to be 300, right? Greater than or equal to 300, fee less than five, you know, more contests, right? So you're slowly, slowly expanding all of these things until you're playing as much action as you want. But those are the big ones here. And then after you get above like this $5 threshold, I would just open this up and get rid of it and then just allow this to be any contest and then start back at the top, right? Because that opens up the $12 single entry, which has a high effective entrance, another $12, right? $50, $100. So those are our contest selection recommendations. And you can use those across any sport. Just remember, start with the baseline and expand it out as needed. All right. Can you link me the video that goes over the late swap pretty please? Well, only because you said pretty please. Yes, I'll do that. Just trying to understand the purpose of late swapping when there is minimal projection correction. Are there any videos discussing the logic around it? Okay. Good question. So first off, the late swap tutorial can be found here. If you go to the top right corner menu, you go to help, you go to SaberSim tutorials. Using late swap. Okay, it's this one right here. Now, this is more just like how late swap works. Buttons to press to get late swap done. It's less about strategy, but I will answer your second question here. I'm going to send this to you in Discord too because you asked. All right, so now with regard to the second part of this question, the question, read it again. Just trying to understand the process of late swapping when there is minimal projection correction. So I will tell you guys how I handle this, okay? And I will bring this up in Discord. So what we're talking about is like when you're in the middle of a slate, right? Say an NBA slate, and you see some players change, but maybe they don't change that much, right? Like, okay, a Sim runs and Jonathan Kuminga changes by 0.8. You know, should you do a full rebuild for this news? Now, I'm going to tell you guys how I think about this. Like, I actually think it's like a pretty good example. Like, there's two Sims here. One is a change less than a point, and then the other one is changes of 2 points in for multiple players. I personally, if this was late swap, would not have rebuilt, even if this is pre-slate, actually, I would not have rebuilt for the Jonathan Kuminga change. I would have rebuilt for the other change where at least almost four players moved at least 2 points. Sexton moved to, Nupel moved to, Black moved to, and then James moved 1.9, right? In my subjective opinion, I think there is enough news here that is worthy of a rebuild where it's going to be impactful to the exposures that I get on the other side. I don't think the Kuminga adjustment here is that impactful. And what you can do in a situation like this, even like Cam Whitmore, right, moves 0.6, you can just re-contest him, okay? So the idea with that is projections get taken into account basically twice, right? They get taken into account when we build your lineups. And then the scores that the players get, the projections, get taken into account in the contest sim as well to like generate the ROIs. So if you build lineups, projections change slightly, and then you you build lineups, you contest sim. Okay, now you have ROIs. Projections change slightly. You re-contest sim, it will use those new projections, those slightly modified projections, to give you updated ROIs. I think that is the best way of doing it rather than spending a lot of time rebuilding lineups for maybe minimal pool exposure adjustments and probably top 150 lineup adjustments. So I like the idea of when there's small projection changes to recontest sim. And then when there are, you know, projection adjustments of somewhere above 2 points to do rebuilds. So that goes for both late swap and pre-slate leading up to lock. All right. Next question. I'm new to SaberSim. Can someone explain the difference between the 500 lineup pool and the four my lineups? Yeah. So the pool is how many total lineups we build you. The my lineups is usually how many entries you have. So like, for instance, right, I'll go back to this build where I ran something for basketball already. So I have 45 entries, right, in this file that I'm using. Now, my pool is 500, but my lineups are 45. So basically, what SaberSim is doing, it is building you more lineups than you need to give you the ability to make changes and have optionality. So here, right, maybe I don't want 97% Colin Gillespie, right? Instead, what I want to do is I want to lower his exposure, maybe to 75%, you know, bring it down a little bit, manage some risk. What SaberSim is going to do is saying, okay, you know, you don't want so much of this player. Let's go and find other lineups in your pool that don't have him so we can get his exposure below the threshold that you want. That's where the pool comes into play. It is additional lineups at your disposal that you can use when you decide to make changes. So that's a big part of the pool. All right. Ev Lopez, go Dodgers. Right on. Can you go over the NBA late swap on how to ensure you're using the live ownership correctly if playing multiple contests? Yeah. So the live ownership and live projections will automatically get taken into account as long as you have these toggles on. And these are only available on Ultimate, but in the Contest tab, in the Field Lineups column, You click this gear icon. These use live fields, use live sims, okay? The live fields are the live ownership. The live sims are the live projections. These are on automatically, okay? So if the data is available within SaberSim, then we are going to use it right away. And we're not going to require you to do anything to use it. We know it's valuable. We know you want to use it. So we're going to do that for you, right? Now, where you can see if this is working or not, there's like two places. Number one is in the games tab. When the game is active, there's going to be a column here that says game situation, okay? It'll basically say, hey, Atlanta Indy is in the second quarter. There is 7 minutes left and the score is X, right? The real-time game state will be slightly different because we're not running sims every single second, right? We are updating them, I think, like every 5 minutes once the games get going. So like we're running new live sims every so many minutes. And then you can see at what point in the game SaberSim is like caught up with. The other way to see this is in the players tab. When the slate is active, there will be two new columns, live actuals and live projection. Those will also indicate that the live sims are running because we're pulling in the current scores of the players and then updating their projections accordingly. All right. Next question. When refreshing projections, is it possible to save one or two contests while rebuilding one or two contests? Thanks. What I would do here is, you know, say I had like two contests, right? Well, what I would do here is when you delete a group, right, you are deleting a contest. So then let's say I have a single entry and then this 45 entry, right? And let's say I like my 45, okay? Let's say I like my single entry, right? I like my single entry here. I want to rebuild the 45. Delete the 45. Delete the group. Save the single entry. Go to a new build. And then recreate the 45 here. And then only build for the 45. So this allows you to keep your single entry lineup, update the projections, and then redo my second contest in this example. All right, next question. My budget is $100, but to max the 50 cent, it's 75. To max the $3 is 60. Is it okay to do a little of both instead of making the 50 cent first? Good question. So I would actually recommend playing the $60 first. And then this is like an important concept. It is okay to enter less than the maximum number of lineups in any contest that you play. Because in theory, right, what you're doing is you're entering your best lineup first. And then you're entering your second best lineup, which is a little worse than the first. And then you're entering your third best, which is a little worse than the two that came before, and so on and so forth. So even if you put, let's say you max the 60, you're left with $40. So that's 80 entries, right, in the 150. Well, all you're deciding to do is, hey, I'm going to put my top 80 lineups in the mini-max, and then I'm going to decide not to put my 81st through 150th best lineups in that contest. And that's an okay thing to do, right? And it's good to be bankroll conscious and make those decisions. So it's always better to do that. The reason I say enter the $3 20 max over the 75 cent is because the effective entrants are higher, right? When the effective entrants are higher, there are generally worse lineups in the contest because it takes more people to fill it. There's only so many good players in the lobby. So the $3 20 max is probably the best contest in the lobby, and I would prioritize that over the 50 cent 150 max. All right. Good questions here. I think we're all caught up. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Have a quick turnaround with office hours tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.